All right. We're back again. Nashville Talks with Taylor Jones, where I get people from Nashville to talk to me about stuff that they do and experiences they've had and experiences we may have had together. So funny stories. We're kind of like, you know, just shooting the breeze here. There's no format to the show. We just kick it around. Today's especially going to be that way because Bruno's on the show. So, you know, he was, we've come back around full circle. He was the first ever guest on this here odyssey of weekly interviews that we've been on for the past almost 2 years. Mm-hmm. So welcome back. Welcome back.
Awesome. 2 years.
Things have changed.
They have upgraded.
How have things changed? How have things changed in here?
I'm just so blown away. You have your own producer.
Yep.
You have all this equipment. You have two more drum sets in the room here.
Well, four now. We got four kits in here.
Four. There's probably another
not
one
all mine,
over here.
People. Not all mine.
Not all mine. Hey. Well, yeah, dude. I think it's great what you do, and you stuck with it. You've been consistent. You've pushed through. You've made some great conversations come to life and put them out there for all the world to enjoy, and I just couldn't be more proud of you, brother.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for putting me on the first episode and giving me somebody to interview.
Oh, thanks for having me on the first episode.
You got to have somebody give you a shot at the top or else, you know what I'm saying, you can't get out of the garage.
That's right.
So we're still in the garage, still coming to you from the garage.
You did not throw away your shot, Taylor.
What does that mean?
It just means you're not throwing away your shot.
Oh, yeah.
Not throwing away your hip-hop shot from the musical Hamilton soundtrack.
Oh, yeah.
It's the main
that's
song.
Right.
You got to check
right,
it
that's
out.
Right. No, I haven't thrown away my shot. You know, I haven't done a lot of stuff, but spent a lot of time in this garage and try to make the best of it. You know what I'm saying? And no complaints here. We, Ian, tell us about that Burger King coffee you got over there. For a transition. Well,
right before we started the show, Bruno asked me about Burger King coffee, why I prefer it, because asking, is it because it's cheap? Is it comparable to everything else? I was like, well, yes, it's reasonably priced, and it tastes like their tater tots.
It tastes like the tater tots. I think Burger King needs to sponsor the show, because that is the greatest description of coffee I've ever heard, and it kind of makes me want to drink coffee for the first time.
It's like tater tot homebrew or something. Like, what do you call it? Like tater tot spiced coffee.
That's right.
Wow.
Well, hashtag tater tots.
Do they like brew the coffee with like some tater tot grease or something, or how does this go down?
Well, best I can figure is, you know, all three of us have at one point worked in the same meeting three.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when you walk back in that kitchen, you're in there for 2 seconds and you come out and you smell like that grease.
Yeah, that's true.
So what I think it is I think the coffee grounds sitting in the Burger King shelves are soaking up that aroma of grease from everything else.
Whoa. That's a good point.
Well, I believe it, because, you know, when you walk into Burger King, it smells like Burger King.
That's right.
And everything in there, it kind of all muddles together. Same thing for a Colonel's chicken. If you go in there, it just, you know, it looks good from the outside, but you go in, the smell almost makes you not even want to be able to eat it.
Well, that's awesome.
I'm not doing fast food.
I'm calling
right
Burger
now.
King, because this is going somewhere. BK Joe.
Yeah, BK Joe. Sponsored by Burger King.
Sponsored by BK Joe.
I ain't mad at a Burger King sponsor.
Okay.
People act like they're too good for Burger King now. I'm not.
No, I still like it. I haven't had it in a while, but I just mean because I haven't had a gift card to Burger King in a while.
I mean, it's good in a pinch, you know what I'm saying?
Yep. Yeah, we kind of grew up on Burger King for
a
while.
Did, yeah, we went there for lunch all the time.
Yeah, at least me and Taylor, he'd come in first thing in the morning and ask me, you want a chicken biscuit? So he'd run down there and grab a little bit of breakfast for everybody. On the way in, he'd be like, it's $1.25.
Yeah, sure enough. I did that. I went, there was a streak there of where I would go to Burger King for breakfast every morning.
Yep.
Every morning of the world. And I don't know. Yeah, I guess I paid for that on my own money, because I was still getting lunch money at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd use the lunch money for lunch. But
man,
I would go and I would be late to class. I didn't care. First period class.
It's something music related.
Yep, and we were good on that. So nobody ever said anything.
Well, and also, now that we're talking about Burger King and high school, it reminds me of a story.
No, were you
that
there?
Comes to mind. I was not there, but
okay, I couldn't remember if you were there.
But I don't know if this story has ever made it onto it Nashville Talks with Taylor Jones, sponsored by Burger King. But there was at one time
a tragedy. The Burger King tragedy. This is a Steven story.
Oh, good.
So Steven was my best friend growing up, and I reckon he's still my best friend on some level. He's in the service and lives in Clarksville and everything now. But at the time, Steven is like, he's one of these people that you just tune in and just watch, because you never know what he's going to say, never know what he's going to do. You know, just... I guess you could be described as a redneck for what that's... I mean, if you look up redneck, it's him.
No doubt.
It really is him. I mean, but so Glencliff High School, which is not the most redneck place in the world, and then here's this giant redneck that's just in the house, okay? And so we were neighbors and friends in junior high school, and just like me and Ian are. So,
yep.
So Steven was always trying to get me to skip school with him and do all this stuff. And we would, I wouldn't fight it or nothing. I wanted to do it too. So we went to Burger King one day. We would go every day for lunch to Burger King just for the challenge. We had literally 22 minutes to get it done.
Right.
You know, and get back before anybody knows. And we had to slip in and out where nobody could see us.
Well, that wasn't too hard.
And so we went one day and it was trash day, and Mr. Redneck would always hang his arm out the window just like on the side of the truck like this, you know, like he always would. And one of his favorite things to do was to throw stuff out the window at mailboxes and stuff.
Stop signs.
And so what I would do is I would lean the car over so he could get a good shot at whatever he was aiming at. Well, one time, boom, he smacked something. I don't know if it was a mailbox or a trash can or what. But he hung his arm back on the window, and he kind of looked at me and just grinned like he was proud of what he'd done. And we're like, I guess it's on your street, heading up to the Burger King. And I guess in my effort to get him close to the target, I didn't get away quick enough before the next can. And so my truck, the mirror of the truck, barely clears the friggin' thing. The trash can. And we got these giant brown cans in Nashville that are like, you know, they give them to you, but they're heavy and they're big and they're right at window level. And so he wasn't looking. And he was looking back at me. And next thing I hear, boom, the side of the car. I smashed this trash can. I mean, I busted it so hard. And I'm thinking, oh my God, I'm going to get in so much trouble because I'm going to have this giant mark and dent on my car and my truck, and my dad's going to be mad at me. And I don't notice that Steve's not saying a word, okay? He's not saying nothing. He's just sitting there with his mouth open, just holding his arm. He never said anything. And we make it another 200 yards, whatever, the Burger King, and he goes, I think it's broke. And I was like, you what? He goes, you smacked my arm on that curb, on that Kirby back there, and it was bleeding.
It was bleeding, really?
It was bleeding. And we walk into Burger King, and he's like showing the lady at Burger King, goes, is that broke? And then she's like, no, I don't know what happened. Then he cuts a promo on me. He goes, this idiot smacked my arm on the side of the Kirby when we were coming down the street. I'm armed. Out the window. And so I'm dying. I've never laughed so hard in my life at this time, I don't think. And he's like selling the arm. We get back to school. He's like, Mr. Coolman, is that broke? He goes, no, if it was broke, you'd definitely know it. And it was bruised and bleeding, but it wasn't broke. And he goes, what happened? He goes, Taylor hit my arm on the side of a trash can, Kirby, on the side of the road. But he left off the part where he had just slung something out the window. It was literally like, shaboom, and looks at me, and then bang, just about that quick. So he was like instant karma, if there ever was any. And he got blasted.
That's
amazing.
I mean,
just straight blasted by that.
What a great story.
And he needs to come on the show.
He will. I think you could call him and get him
over here.
No doubt.
It might have to be a two-parter. But
oh, yeah, or special, parental 2-hour advisory. Special. Parental yes. advisory show.
No doubt.
Parental yeah, advisory.
He can be a bit colorful. Content. Yeah. But the guy is hilarious and went on to be, you know, a soldier and war hero and all this stuff. But at the time, he was a redneck and got his arm slapped off at the side of a trash can. So we got a ton of stories like that.
Burger King.
What about the time when you were too young to drive, but he would always have you drive in the parking lots and stuff, bring the car around, all this and that. And he had this old truck with no reverse in it. And remember when he tried to get up the side of the hill at Glencliff when we were going to play football up there? Yeah. And the trailer hitch hung in the ground.
For some reason, he thought it would be cute.
He had to turn around, though. Because he's not no reverse. So he needed a hill.
Yeah. So he wasn't just like showing off driving up a hill for no reason. He was trying to find a way to turn around. So he was just like, well, if I go up that hill, I will come back down that hill in neutral and I will turn the wheel and I will be able to, you know, swing it the other way.
Mind you, this hill is like 45 degrees. I mean, it's straight up.
It's like Mount St. Glencliff.
Yeah, you're walking up the stairs to the field.
Yeah,
from the parking lot.
Is this like the soccer field area?
No, this is the football field.
You know that ramp, the concrete ramp?
Where we used to march down the hill or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
This is
yeah.
like on the other side
like
of the
main entrance to go into the football
Yeah, when you're going to buy a ticket and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a fence, there's like a rail, which is like, you know, a metal rail standing right there. And so he's like parallel to that rail, hoping that he can swing the truck back the other way to get turned around. So then what happens?
I recall.
Because you rode with him.
Yeah, I recall us getting out of the truck.
No, what happened when it got stuck, though? Because I walked up as it was already up there in another truck.
Yeah, the truck was stuck, and we had to get it unstuck. And I have no recollection of what happened after that.
Well, he had a jack. He got the trailer hitch.
A jack, that's right.
Yeah, the trailer hitch got stuck in the dirt, which stopped the truck, stuck on the side of the hill. Mm. So I walk up, here's a 79 F100 with no reverse and a race car motor in it on the side of the freaking hill, okay? And here's Bruno and Steven just looking at it. And there's a couple other people walking up going, Derek, Steven, what you do? How'd you get stuck on the side of the hill?
Hey, what we going to do about that?
Yeah.
I don't know.
He goes, oh, I got it. Bruno, you get on the wheel. And I'll get behind it and jack it up out of the ground. And then.
Oh, it sounds like a terrible
and
idea.
And then you coasted around the rest of the way like we originally designed. Now, mind you, Bruno's 14, doesn't have no driver license or nothing.
This is 11 years ago.
Yeah.
Going on 12.
Yeah. So he's got no driver license, no nothing. He's supposed to have his foot on the brake. And he didn't have his foot on the brake. And so Steven thinks he's going to hit it like 3 times and it'll come up out of the ground. About half a jack, and it comes out the ground. He goes, and that sucker, whoosh, and it breaks loose. Dirt flies everywhere, and it's breaking loose the wrong way. Now, mind you, you're still in the truck.
I was in the truck?
Yeah, you were in the truck. Or next to it. One of the two.
Oh, my.
You were in it or next to it. One of the two. And the truck's out of control now, and it's coming towards that fence, that railing. Which is going to crush him because he's behind it and he's running away from the truck. And just before it hits the fence, he jumps straight up in the air, lands in the tailgate, bang, and the truck just knocks the fence completely sideways. And if he'd have been in between there when that happened, he'd have been messed up. I mean, it would have been
tragic.
Yeah. And I just remember going, whoa, you know, kind of like that. He goes, whoa. And then he starts going in on Bruno. Well, dang, right? You had your foot on the pedal, foot on the brake. I thought you were supposed to turn it, you know, something. And that's a great crap. But it did eventually come back down where he can move forward again. But mission accomplished just in a funny kind of way. So
oh, man, I have vague memories of that. But
dude, I remember.
I think maybe he was going to jack it up a few more times before I got in it. And it
that's,
just.
I think so, too. I think he wasn't sure that it was going to come out of the ground so quickly.
No.
That's right. He goes, Bruno, why weren't you in the truck? He's like, you didn't give me enough time to get to the truck. He thought he's gonna jack it like 4 or 5 times.
Yeah.
And it only took a half of jack. I mean, it didn't take much.
And he probably had one of those race car jacks that it, you know, you one half of a pushdown is like 10 yeah. pushes on a normal
yeah,
jack.
Yeah, yeah, like a 3-ton jack or whatever.
Right.
Floor jack. So,
wow. Good times.
But yeah, he just, I mean, it's so funny.
He's a trip.
Yeah.
So you gotta get him on. So
I gotta get him on the show. Get the band back together.
See what
yes.
See what he's been up to.
Selling MRI machines.
Oh, really?
That's what he's been doing lately, yeah. He comes into Nashville every now and then. And
Medical sales.
Hmm. Selling MRI machines and expensive hospital equipment.
I mean, if people need it, then somebody has to sell it.
And he is a salesman.
Oh, no doubt.
A BS artist, if there ever was one. So, anyway, we can go on and on. What you been doing, brother?
Well, I've been doing a lot of stuff, but not really a lot of stuff. Let's see, this last few hours of the day, I have been enjoying the quality game show that is called The Price is Right.
Who's hosting that now?
Drew Carey.
Okay.
Yeah, Drew Carey's hosting it, and it's a pretty good show. We like watching it, kind of in the morning after we eat breakfast, and kind of, you know, if you're on your computer working or whatever, it's on in the background. So that's what I did, and before that, I ate some breakfast burritos, and
You know what I made this morning?
That was good. What did you make for breakfast?
One of those egg McMuffin things.
You made one?
Yep. After you brought it up the other day.
Good. I'm so proud. What, did you use any meat?
Yeah, just one little sliver of ham. That was it.
Okay. That's.
What do you do? Bacon?
That's good. We just do eggs and cheese.
Eggs and cheese would have been good. I mean, yeah. It would have been fine, but you just had that meat in
the
there.
The trick to it, I figured out, is, and what we're talking about is the great Craig Picard's hipped us to a breakfast sandwich.
The Boston breakfast sandwich.
Boston breakfast sandwich. And what it is it's a Thomas's English muffin plain.
Kroger brand, if you got that.
Kroger brand, cut in half, put a little butter on it, toast it, and then get you like a fried egg in the shape of a circle that about matches the shape of the muffin.
Bro, my egg was hanging all out the side, just the way I like it.
Really? Or you can do that. That's fine, too.
One egg is enough.
One egg and a piece of cheese, and if you have already cooked off a bunch of bacon, throw some bacon on it, or any meat that you so choose.
I use a sliver of ham because we had ham.
I choose to go meatless sometimes in the morning and just do eggs and cheese. But the trick to the whole thing is you gotta make sure the English muffin is toasty on both sides, but not too toasty, or else it'll just be soft and you're kind of but if you can get a little crunch in there,
oh yeah,
you gotta have that for
medium
on this
on
breakfast sandwich. But
breakfast
that's great
toaster.
That you would do that. And
I did because I had some time this morning. And I said, well, you know what? I'm not just gonna do my usual ham and cream cheese gimmick. So
that's great.
I didn't want to do that. That's my on the fly. But
ham and cream cheese?
Yeah, hot ham. Hot bagel thin or McMuffin, egg McMuffin, whatever. Not I call them that. English muffin with cream cheese on it and some ham. A little bit of hot ham on there. It's a pretty good little breakfast thing. My dad taught me that.
That sounds pretty good. What do you eat for breakfast, Ian?
I eat leftovers mostly.
Pizza.
Like, leftovers from the night before.
It's like if you'll just eat like a lasagna for breakfast.
Those don't ever get left over.
No, they don't.
Just like some Burger King fries in there and just going to
12-hour-old Burger King fries.
No, oh, right. Been warmed up.
Now, especially days that I work, I have the unfortunate disposition of working next to a Starbucks.
Mm.
So they get all my money. Which you get rewards pretty often there, but
are you a gold member?
Do what?
Are you a gold member?
I am a gold member.
My wife was once a gold member, but she's not anymore.
Do they have platinum?
I don't think so.
Okay, gold's the highest thing.
In 2 months, I've actually already earned my gold membership for next year.
Oh, geez, that's a lot of Starbucks.
Are you also a gold member at Burger King?
No, I would be if they had one. No doubt,
man. Somebody needs to buy you a Keurig.
Yeah, something.
In the car, bro. Keurig.
Yes.
Something, bro. Wow.
Well, that's good. Leftovers, huh?
Leftovers. A lot of times I won't eat breakfast because
you just eat coffee.
I don't start work until 10, and so schedule gets a little weird with lunch being so early. And
that's true.
And so just a nice big cup of coffee will generally tie me over to lunch.
Okay. That's good. Do you drink coffee, tea?
Nope. Don't like it.
You've don't tried it. Have you ever like given it a run, or you've just
never given it a run? I just don't like hot drinks.
Oh,
I would. I mean, I like a good hot chocolate if I'm outside, right, freezing in a ball stadium. But that's sure. It.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
I don't like hot things. Hot tea. I just don't need
it. What about
it,
a nice coffee?
I don't know, man. I've just never had the taste for coffee. Like, it's never been something that. Because I don't drink me and Bruno don't drink a lot of caffeine anyway. Because he kind of got me off of caffeine years ago. Because I used to drink sweet tea all day, like Cy Robertson.
Mm-hmm.
But he drinks unsweet tea. But I used to drink at the Dairy King when I was working there. I mean, just gallons and gallons of tea.
Right.
And I didn't realize how bad that was for you. But so much sugar and everything else like that. So at some point, I just quit and started drinking water only. And that's pretty much what I do now. I mean, I don't drink hardly any cold drinks, you know what I mean, or whatever, or sodas or whatever. I right. do the occasional Dr. Pepper if there's a pizza.
Yes.
And I do, I mean, if I make a Jack and Coke, I like a Coke in that, but that's rare, you know what I mean?
Right.
Because I go through ups and downs with drinking alcohol. Like right now, I'm not drinking any at all, just for the last few months for whatever reason.
Sure.
You know, but you know, if we go out and we eat some chicken and there's a pitcher of beer on the table, then we take care of that. But like
that's
the other night
meal.
The other night I had a really good margarita at Longhorns. So that thing was good, and it was fantastic, actually, is what it was for a margarita, you know what I mean? I don't know why I wanted one. I just did. I think I was kind of having a rough, not rough, but just stressful. I needed to turn it off a little bit, so I just said, I'm going to go ahead and use this. I'm not normally for that or whatever, but that's not why I drink anything ever. It's usually just because it goes good with chicken.
Right.
Or like I said, Dr. Pepper goes good with pizza.
It's just going to hit the spot.
But in this case, it was like, yeah, I wouldn't mind, you know, tequila right now to cool me off. But it was good. But the thing about alcohol is it puts me to sleep. Like, I drink two drinks and I'm ready for bed. Like, that's why I don't really, I don't mess with it very much, because I don't know. It's just not, like, it's the same way. Like, it's not my thing either. Too much, unless there's some chicken around, and then chicken and beer, that's good. You know, pizza and cold drink. And other than that, it's just water.
Right.
You know, occasional sweet tea. But sweet tea is so potent around here. Like, if you drink a cup of sweet tea, it's like doing a hit of cocaine or something. There's so much sugar
What's the recipe for Southern sweet tea if you're making it in a 5-gallon bucket? Is it
5 gallons?
5 pounds of sugar?
5 pounds? Is a 5 pound of sugar like
a whole thing?
A whole bag?
Yeah.
Dang. So that's you got a pound in every gallon.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Stir that baby up. Stir it up.
So that's 4 cups of sugar.
Bro, I don't know how many times I've seen, okay, the tea is made. And it's still hot, so you got to get the sugar in there when it's still hot.
Yeah.
So the tea comes out at the giant filter, like it's a big old coffee filter, but you put tea in it, and it fills up a 5-gallon pickle bucket. And then you come with the sugar and the gimmick that you stir with. And so you're pouring the sugar in and stirring at the same time while it's still hot. And that's how you do it. And then you stick your finger in there and you check it.
Wow,
that's how it's done.
That's the official.
I'm sure the health department would have a problem with that last step. Hey, but
I thought it was 1 pound of sugar to every 5 gallons, which puts you at about like a cup a gallon ish of sugar. But that ain't gonna do it.
I could be wrong. I believe the vision I have in my head is pouring over the entire bag of sugar.
Then the poll question is, what's the weight of a bag of sugar?
5 pound.
5 pound.
Yeah, for a shoot.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know for sure.
Like, what does a cup of sugar weigh?
I don't know.
Because that's what we used to do. We used to do about 3/4 to a cup of sugar per tea pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know.
Which is like a gallon-ish.
Wow. Yeah, something like that.
I don't know. I could be wrong on these figures. I had to bring in the sweet tea experts to confirm.
Right.
Next week's podcast.
But, buddy, it's
sweet, isn't it? It's about the most amount of sugar you can get in there before it doesn't dissolve.
Before it's crunchy, or your drink is crunchy. You know what I mean?
Well, that's why you do it when it's hot, so you can super saturate the tea.
Yeah, it melts it out.
Okay.
Yeah, because that's why I don't ever, like, you ever see somebody that's got to put, like, three sweet and lows and two equals into their tee to get their tee right at the table at Cracker Barrel or something. Mm-mm. And I'm just like, bro, you just floating. You just got stuff just floating in there. It ain't going to dissolve. There's already ice in it. Like, to me, that's like, that's, unless you're doing it with unsweet tea. But even then, it's like, why even order the tea? You know, because it just don't dissolve right. If you're going to take unsweet tea and then put all these gimmick sugars in there and try to stir it up when it's cold, that's just, I don't do that. I don't get that. So forget it. And plus, like, drinks at restaurants are expensive. That's the other side of things. It's like, dude, if you try to drink, you know, a sweet tea, that's going to be $2.50, $3.
Right.
If you drink a beer, that's going to be $6, $7, $8.
That's their hustle.
Yeah, and they get you every time when they fill the beers up. So I don't play that game. You know, that's a whole meal right there that I could, in two drinks, I got a whole meal or better for almost me and Kyla. So we don't make the budget very often around here.
Yep, that's their hustle.
But
drinks.
But as I say, you know, yeah, here or there.
Yeah. I mean, about all I drink that's not water is like the occasional Sprite.
Oh, yeah.
And the occasional root beer. And recently, my buddy Kendall has got me on the fancy root beer kick. So now I'm a wannabe root beer connoisseur, which just means every now and then the Bulldog root beer from World Market becomes into my fridge.
The Bulldog root beer from Bulldog, World Market. Bulldog World Market, where's World Market? On North Road?
There's a World Market in Hendersonville, and there's a World Market in Bellevue. Those are the only two in Nashville, I do believe. But I got some for Christmas, actually, in my Christmas stocking from my mother-in-law, which was partly because my wife was like, hey, if you go to World Market, get the Bulldog. And it's good. It's not like super soda-y. It's real smooth. And so you can drink like about a whole bottle and not even like, oh, well, that went quick. It's like really, really good quality stuff. And there's a couple other brands that my buddy Kendall, he made me a variety pack of root beers one time. And
I did not know this was a thing.
Yeah, there's like some like custom high-end root beer. Boyland is one that you can find at Publix. And then there's a couple more good ones. Good, you know, pure cane sugar or whatever the difference may be.
I have seen in North Carolina a couple of breweries actually do root beer breweries as well.
That's cool.
And I've had one of those, and it has been like super high quality. I didn't know this became more of a thing than
yeah. There's some boutique brands out there, you know, floating around who kind of spice it up, you know,
the same way people do beer.
Yeah,
same, same exact thing.
There's so many people brewing beer now. Mm-hmm. The whole homebrew deal, and then the craft beers are everywhere now.
I made my own beer once.
What'd it taste like?
Oh, it was the worst thing I've ever tasted. I got one of those like $30 do-it-yourself kits made of plastic and such.
Wow.
You pour the yeast in this bottle and stuff, and you do the whole thing in this keg, and you let that sit for a while, and then you dump the whole thing into individual bottles, and then let it sit for like 30 days.
Yeah, you got to wait for a while.
We pulled it out, and it was supposed to be just like a light ale or something like that. Mm. It was just the worst thing I've ever done.
Oh, man.
Oh, it didn't turn out.
I mean, I'm sure it turned.
It fermented like this.
No doubt. It was just turned just horribly. Terrible. Not to mention, they don't tell you. You still got to now drink around all the yeast and stuff. Like, there's not a good way
to filter it out.
Yeah.
That's nasty.
It's pretty gross.
I'd like to make moonshine sometime in my backyard. I could get away with it.
We could certainly do that.
You got them little woods over there.
I can
there.
Go back in the woods behind my house. You know, we got deer. Did I tell you about my dog chasing a deer the other day?
No.
Holy cow. We got these woods they mentioned, which I need to build me a steel and be back there in my GoPro camera.
Playing the banjo.
Get you one of the mash steels.
Bro, I can do it. I've watched enough moonshiners on TV. I really think I could. If I can get somebody to help me build one.
I hope he
doesn't leak alcohol vapors and blow me clear to Nolensville. Then I'll be my dog a couple nights ago, whenever it was, I let her out, both of them out together, and they were just barking like raising cane and stuff. And so this is like 10:30 at night, so I'm not trying to have them out there making all that noise. I try to bring them in around dark. Anyway, so I just look over there at Charles's yard, my neighbor, by the tree in the middle of the yard, and I said, holy cow, there's a deer. And it was this massive doe. This thing was big. This was not like a baby doe. And Susie takes out after that thing. I mean, just she's like low to the ground running. Like, you know what I'm saying? Super aerodynamic.
Like on the hunt.
And in the fifth gear, bro. Fifth gear, just like a comet. Just like that. Takes off after that deer. That deer takes down a road, down the street, across the street into the woods behind the neighbor's house across the street. And I guess made it all the way down by the creek. And Susie chased her clear down there. She didn't have her collar on. So
I was just going to ask, the electric collar.
She didn't have it on, so she got away with it.
Whoa. But
she was gone. And I got to thinking to myself, I was like, that deer could have whipped her ass. I mean, it would have. A white-tailed deer will whoop you sideways,
really?
Buddy. If they get a hold of you, I'm telling you, they are strong and they are violent when they need to be, bro. And that little dog compared to that big deer, I mean, she would have been kicked. I mean, right in the ribs. It would have just boom, knocked her crooked.
So you did know? You chase off after the dog?
No,
the deer?
I just watched and I said, she's going after the deer. And the deer was gone.
She was like,
she was right behind it. But I mean, she just shooed that thing out of the yard. I mean, it was crazy. But a deer will, hey, ask any hunter who's caught a deer in a high fence and tried to help it if they didn't get their rear end whipped. By that deer a little bit, trying to help the deer. You know, it don't matter. I mean, those things, they're wild animals, bro. And so yeah, but man, they're heavy too. So
that's crazy.
I mean, the dog only weighs like 70 pounds. The deer probably weighs what? 200-400 pounds. I don't know what a deer weighs, but more than 70.
Probably more than me.
Yeah, that thing, man, it was gone. But
that's awesome.
Susie was right behind it. She could have chased it clear on down Mill Creek if she wanted to, probably.
Really? But,
oh, yeah. They were heading down that way. I mean, it was like straight. It's a straight shot, you know, to the creek.
That's probably where they hang out, somewhere by the creek.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the woods all back in there where we used to go four-wheel driving sometimes back through there. Because it's a pretty good little woods. But there's deer. I think there's deer all up in there. Because that's like the third one I've seen in the last few months.
Right.
You know, there was one just right back here behind our building in between mine and Charles's area right here. Just back here eating grass. I'm like, oh my goodness.
We are kind of in hunting season now. We're right on.
Well,
it.
They're done. Deer season's over around here, I think. But
is it?
Yeah, it's like November to January.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh. Wow. So
I knew it was cold.
Yeah.
So it is now February. Can you guys believe it?
No.
February, man, off to a new month.
And you know what February brings?
Short month.
No, it brings the Super Bowl.
Oh, geez.
And last year, you did a Super Bowl episode.
I remember.
And then now, I guess, this year, you got me doing the Super Bowl episode.
Yeah, well, I went from a Super Bowl champion to you.
That's right. I feel honored. But I did want to ask you your take on it, if you're
My
willing
take,
to share. And
sure.
Ian, feel free to jump in.
I'm
curious also, some of those Twitter predictions you made, how those stacked up. For this year's Super Bowl,
none of my Twitter predictions were true.
They weren't?
No, predictions were terrible as far as like who would win the games. All the way back to the first round.
Really?
I missed it, bro. I didn't do so good. I'm not so good at predicting the game before the game, but I'm pretty good at predicting the outcome once I watch the first few minutes of the game.
That's right.
That's where I kind of live, because like every team in NFL can beat anybody on any given day usually. So it's kind of tough, but like I had Dallas beating Green Bay, but you know, things like that. I just thought Dallas could get one win. I didn't think they would beat Atlanta or Seattle or somebody else in the next round. But I thought they could beat Green Bay because Green Bay was hurt. And because it was in Dallas.
Sure.
But, you know, once that happened, I was like, well, my whole card's all screwed up. I knew the Patriots would get there. I think everybody did. But now, looking at Atlanta and looking at New England, there's a couple big-time storylines in there for me, because the OC at Atlanta is likely going to be the head coach of the 49ers.
Really?
Kyle Shanahan, yeah. And he's been an OC all over the league.
Is he the son of Mike Shanahan?
Yes.
Wow.
And I don't know a ton about him. I mean, it's a good hire, I think, because of what's out there. I think it's the best hire they can make if they make that hire. They just hired John Lynch as the GM.
General manager.
Yeah. So John Lynch is a player, Hall of Fame player. I don't know if he's a Hall of Famer or not. He should be. But anyway, on that Bucks defense. So
okay.
I like a defensive guy myself. I think defense is what wins playoff games and stuff. So John Lynch is a good hire. I know it's like, well, he's never had any GM experience or whatever, but a lot of these GMs, they never had no player experience. So it's kind of like, okay, the shoe's on the other foot now.
Sure.
So I'm happy with it. I'm glad a football guy's in there and not just another suit. So
that'll be interesting.
Kyle Shanahan, I think that's a good hire, and I think what they got to do is they got to draft Deshaun Watson if they get a chance. If they do that, I'll be happy. If they don't, I won't be happy.
What is the 49ers draft pick? Has it been announced?
Number two.
Okay, yeah. Behind the Browns.
Yeah, who both teams need a quarterback. So Deshaun Watson, to me, is far and away the best quarterback out there. I mean, they you can put over this guy in North Carolina, all due respect, but I'll take the guy that's beat Alabama. I'll take the guy that's thrown for 300 yards against Alabama twice. Hmm. You know what I mean? I'll take a guy that graduated from college in 3 years. Okay? I'll take a national champion. I'm not taking some cat I've never seen on primetime TV, never play anybody and beat anybody. I don't care how big he is or how strong his arm is, right, or whatever. I just ain't going
to
do it.
Tell that to a Cowboys fan, though, and they will be like, well, have you heard of Dak Prescott?
Dak Prescott threw for 400 yards against Alabama. He beat Alabama. He was a real deal. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Well, I'll take that back.
What I'm telling you is he's in line with Deshaun Watson. But the thing is, like, you take a guy that nobody's ever heard of or nobody's ever really seen play, and he might sack up. Like, the scouts say he's a top guy. Like Jared Goff in Los Angeles Rams. Dude, I knew he was in trouble when he didn't dress out for the first game. I was like, this cat didn't get the offense. Number one draft pick overall. They traded out the house to get that number one draft pick.
Wow.
To the Titans.
I remember that.
And Titans killed off on that. That GM for the Titans was made by that draft pick.
I think the Titans, man, going to show out next year, personally.
Yeah, Mariota's playing well.
I think that might, you know.
The defense, as long as Dick LeBeau's there, you're going to have a pretty solid defense, usually a top 10 defense. Even if you're number 10, I mean, that's a good defense. That's what you need. So,
yeah, I'm excited
but for
about
the Super Bowl,
Titans football, finally.
Yeah, the Super Bowl. Okay, here's the storyline. So, Tom Brady's either going to get 5 rings.
Which is the most of
most
all time.
Ever. He's, to me, he's already, for this generation, he's the best.
Sure.
I don't know if it's fair to compare quarterbacks generation to generation, because guys like Joe Montana and Terry Bradshaw and Troy Aikman and all these people were getting obliterated every game. Like, there was no protection for the quarterback, you know?
Right.
It's the same thing in basketball. Like, you know, they're not allowed to, like, hand check them anymore or nothing like that. Whereas guys back in the day would freaking have to, if you scored 40 in a game in 1988, to me, that's like scoring 60 in a game today.
Right.
Because it's so much, there's so little contact. There's so little physicality.
It's just a very different game.
Yeah. And not to say that there's not any physicality in basketball. Don't hear that. I'm just saying there's less than there was. I mean, the freaking Detroit Pistons in the late 80s and early 90s, they would beat you up. You know what right. I mean? They were like, they would beat you up. By the time you got out of that game, ask Michael Jordan. Mm-hmm. I mean, that Detroit Pistons team beat him from pillar to post every time they played him.
Right. So Tom Brady. Yeah.
Tom Brady's going to either get 5 or we're going to make a new star in Matt Ryan and Julio Jones and those guys. Wow. So either way, I think it's a win-win. I think the obvious baby face is the Falcons in this situation because people hate the Patriots. Anybody outside of Boston besides me that likes the Patriots, you know, I don't think there is too many. You know?
Yeah, I think you can respect them, but most people who are like, oh, I want to, you know, root for the Patriots and because I like Tom and he's blah blah blah, it's not many of those people usually because they're always beating up on their team, Patriots. That
yeah
is,
and
but,
you know, the Patriots are an AFC team, so it's easier for me to pull for them because they don't play the Niners very much or whatever, and the yeah. Titans haven't been in competitive anything with the Patriots in 15 years.
And
so
when's the last time they played the Patriots? It's crazy.
A couple years ago. Sure. Maybe this year, actually
it might rotate in, but
the deal is, like, okay, so the Patriots is the big heel coming in.
Right.
So what do the Falcons have to do to beat them, okay, in my uneducated opinion? Another reason why I like Tom Brady is because I like quarterbacks. Like, right. That's my favorite part of football is watching the quarterback's at work and the defense against them. You know, that's what I love about football is how you're going to stop them, how you're going to not let the defense stop you. So, Tom, from what I can see, with consistency over the last 15, 16 years, I've never seen anybody that consistent.
Right.
You know, and part of it is because he doesn't get beat up like Joe Montana and some of these guys did. I mean, Joe Montana was in and out of games constantly injured.
Right.
You know, because he got assaulted. I'm reading his book right now, and it's like this guy every other game was like, you know, having to get, cortisone shot or something, whatever, pain shot, you know, whatever they call it, just to make the lineup. But what does Atlanta have to do to win the game? What does New England have to do to win the game? I think it's a simple formula part one, survive the first quarter, okay? What both teams, whoever you see as having the advantage, the underdog team has to survive the first quarter. And so the Falcons have a high-powered offense.
Mm-hmm.
The Patriots have a high-powered offense. And you saw in that Pittsburgh game how quickly they went down the field on Pittsburgh, and they should have scored a touchdown on first drive. The guy dropped a pass on third down.
Rip.
In the red zone, which is usually not happening for them. But he did, and they got three. But still, they cut through him like a hot knife through butter, and it was like, oh, boy, this is going to be a long day because I don't see them slowing him down. And they didn't. I mean, with all respect, I mean, Pittsburgh's defense just weren't ready for what the Patriots were going to bring them on that day. And they're hurt, you know, and stuff too a little bit. But so can Atlanta stop Tom Brady from cutting through them like a butter? You know what I mean?
Right.
Can the Patriots defense stop Atlanta from Matt Ryan, they pretty much have the hottest offense going right now, probably, at least in the NFC side, for sure. Can they stop them from going through them? I think they can. What Bill Belichick's going to do is he's going to say, okay, here's the deal. I'm taking Julio Jones out of the game. Our defense is going to strategize to shut him down.
Sure.
Beat us with something else. So can they get around whatever they're going to do to stop Julio Jones, and Julio have a big game? I think if they can do that, they can win the game. I don't think if they shut Julio Jones down that they will win the game at all. Just really don't. I don't think you're going to run the ball effectively enough or make a star out of somebody else enough to do that. I just don't see it happening.
Let me ask you this. My take on it is I kind of want Tom Brady to win.
I do, yeah.
Here's why. I think at his age, if he goes out this year as a winner, as the all-time five rings guy, more than anybody, I think he's going to potentially retire.
You think?
The other side of me is like, that boy's crazy.
He ain't going to, bro.
And he ain't going
to. Retirement's not on his radar.
But as a Titans guy, I want him to be gone.
Get out
because
of here.
Ain't
yeah.
nobody got a
chance. Yeah, ain't nobody got a chance.
Really?
Is he?
Yeah.
Especially now that Peyton's gone.
Yeah,
you know,
Peyton, I mean, and Tom gone, you got a whole new slew of young quarterbacks who can maybe get it.
You need new stars, man. They haven't created as many new stars yet, but you have some in the making. I think Matt Ryan would be a great example. But
so you don't think Brady's going, though?
Nope, I don't think he's going to do it. I think Brady is literally shooting for 10 rings. Like,
really?
He's that crazy. But I don't think he'll get 10 rings. But what's to stop him from getting 6? I mean, Michael Jordan has 6. You know, Kobe Bryant has 6, I think.
Oh, so it's going to be,
you know, like
most in
six
any
is a,
sport.
6 is a big number. Oscar Robinson and some of them guys, you know, have more. What's his name? Some of the basketball players have 10 or whatever. But, like,
does any player in the NFL have more than 5 at any position?
I can't answer that. I don't think so. I know Charles Haley has 5.
Mm.
And he played for 2 different teams that won a bunch of Super Bowls. So,
sure.
I don't know about everybody else. That's a fact check thing. But with Brady... Brady's 39, and I'm not going to say he's different, but his behavior is, like, he goes to bed at 8:30, you know what I mean? Like, he goes to bed real early. So
sure.
He gets up early, but, like, the guy rests a lot. He knows how to rest his body. He knows how to take care of his body in a really – and he's not hurt. I mean, the guy is not ever – aside from that 1 year with a knee, you know, that's the only injury he ever had, and it doesn't affect him at all now, as far as I know. You know what I mean? So, to me, it's all about injury. If he can stay healthy, because your body starts to do stuff at 40 and beyond that it didn't used to do before and takes longer to get healed up and everything. But if they go ahead, I think there's a big storyline here because if you notice the Patriots, their thing is one more. That's what they're, you know, the Falcons is rise up and the Patriots is one more.
Right.
So, to me, that sounds like if we don't win here, Uh-oh, is the writing on the wall? Okay. Is Brady not have what it takes anymore? You know, but if he does win here, then it's like, yo, this cat's going to win six. Because there's no reason why. They're going to be right back in it next year. I mean, you already know they're going to be in the AFC. They're the class of the AFC. As long as Brady's on 2 feet, they're gonna be right back in the AFC championship game next year.
Sure.
So, personally, I see the Patriots winning, and then he's coming back next year to make a run. But at the same time, like, you know, and the reason I say that too is I'm not sure if the coaching staff at the Falcons can outcoach Bill Belichick.
Sure.
That's the other thing. It's like he's a young coach still.
That's a good
young
word.
Head coach, and playoffs and championships are won by who outcoaches who. So I got a feeling Bill Belichick's going to outcoach him this time.
Right,
but he's going to be a great coach for a long time in this league, and they're probably going to make a couple Super Bowl runs after this. So if the Falcons can win, good. You know, we got new stars made. That's great. I'm happy with that. If the Patriots win, then old Brady's sticking a ring on his thumb. Thumbs up. You know, like, he's going to start putting them on this other hand.
I need to start printing thumbs up T-shirts, like, right now.
Yeah, for Brady. If he yeah.
Whoa.
For sure. Thumbs up. There's a ring on all these, and then a thumb ring. You know what I'm saying?
Love it.
2001, 2003, 2005, 2000, a couple years ago. And then and then that on the thumb. Like, that's right a on. Heck of a run, dude.
Yeah.
So,
cool.
Anyway, that's probably enough on that. If I haven't lost my entire viewership on that, then who knows?
All the females this whole episode have been like, nah.
Yep. Let me start talking about wrestling, kill off all the rest of people. Well, how are we doing on time over there?
We're at 46 minutes.
46 minutes.
Cool.
Well, is there anything else? You want to go home? Go home on that note? What do you think?
I think we need to hear Ian's pick for the Super Bowl real quick. Who do you got?
I'm going, I don't know. I'd go Patriots just because, for a musical reason. Okay. Because Aerosmith is my favorite band, and they're from Boston, so I'll go with Boston.
Okay.
But I really don't care about football, actually.
Okay.
I'm more of a basketball guy.
Okay.
Have you ever been to Hollywood Studios Park in Disneyland?
Hollywood Studios.
Disney World.
Is that Orlando. Part of the Disney park?
Yes, Orlando, Florida.
Home of I must have been. I've been in there.
Home of the Rock and Roller Coaster.
Yes. Yes, I have done that one. The 0 to 60 in like 0.3 seconds or something.
The ride branded around Aerosmith.
It was awesome.
Yeah,
it was thoroughly. I thought it was, besides the Aerosmith portion of it, I thought it was the best roller coaster in the park.
Yeah, I did it the other day.
But of course, the Aerosmith bit just kind of added to it.
It's pretty cool.
I've got a picture somewhere of me standing in front of the guitar outside of that ride.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So you've been there. Cool.
I love it.
I was fixing to say you need to go do that, Aerosmith.
I'm trying to get back to Disney World either this year or next year.
Okay.
Then run over to Orlando Studios for a little bit too while I'm there.
Oh, yeah. Cool, man.
But, yeah.
Well, good. Well, I reckon that'll do it for today. We'll bring it on home here and cash in another week, man. Another week of content.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see what happens next week. Never know who we're going to get, what we're going to do. And, man, shoot, I don't even know who's in charge of booking this stuff. So we just show up.
It's a group effort.
We just show up and see what happens. So I hope y'all are digging it. If you like the podcast, hit the subscribe button and maybe leave me a review on iTunes, man.
Email.
That'd be awesome. We got an email address now. If you have, if you want to contribute to the show in any kind of way, have any suggestions for things for us to talk about or do on the show, NashvilleTalks@gmail.com. Come on and check it out. We might do one of these album reviews we've been talking about here in a bit. If y'all send us some suggestions for some albums you'd like to hear discussed at length and any questions you have about such album, you know, we can do that. I think that'll be a fun content
absolutely
piece for us to do, man. And we can even play little portions of that album in the mix of the show. How about that?
Copyright pending.
Because we can do all that stuff. No, we'll probably get sued, so we probably can't do all that stuff. What we'll do is I'll just whistle the melody of the song.
There you go.
And then, yeah, then you can go from there. So thank you guys for a great couple years, year and a half of doing this. We're going to keep it rolling. And who knows what will happen next. So for now, for Bruno Jones and Ian Stewart, I'm Taylor Jones. We'll see y'all next week.